renewal, awakenness. These words should mean something to us as Christians, shouldn't they? You may be seated this morning. As we enter into this week, I was asked this week, what is the goal for this week? What do we want this week to accomplish? And when I was asked that, the simple answer came to mind. It isn't that we meet a certain criteria or that we have this certain agenda. Only that we desire that as we go through this week, that we be renewed in the image of Jesus Christ. That our lives become more like Jesus. That's what we desire for this week to be. That's what we pray for this week to be. That we as individuals, as families, and as a church become more like Jesus through this week. It's amazing how the rest of our lives are impacted and are changed for the better when we are passionately in love with Jesus at the very core of who we are. When you are passionately in love with Jesus, when the Holy Spirit has consumed you, and when the rest of your life is an outflow of that, it's amazing what happens in every other area of your life. Would you agree? So when we look upon this week, as we stand here at the dawn of this week and we begin to go through this week of renewal, may we be more renewed in the image of Jesus Christ, not in the image of ourselves. This week, we're going to be going through each night. We'll have a different theme or a different aspect of what a renewing looks like. This morning, we're going to be talking about a renewed mind. Tonight, George King is going to lead us through a reconnected heart. Monday night, Keith Roberts is going to lead us through a repentant soul. And Tuesday evening, Billy Meyerkrantz is going to lead us through a resolved will or strength. And then Wednesday evening, Pastor Micah is going to lead us through a restored image. As we go through this week, the Hebrews, there was a philosophical difference between the Hebrews and the Greek and what a person was in some ways. The Greeks more fell along the lines of a person being a distinct body, a distinct mind, a distinct soul, and these were almost separate entities. The Hebrews didn't believe that, and we don't believe that. We believe that as God created the entire person, our mind, soul, and body, and spirit are all interconnected. They're seamlessly woven together, and each part of our person dramatically impacts the other. Jesus was being tested by the Pharisees. We find in Mark chapter 12, verse 30, we find Jesus is there and he's being tested by the Pharisees. And they asked him, they said, what is the greatest command? What are the greatest commandments? And Jesus' response was, he gives them the two greatest commandments. But the first one is what I want to share this morning. He says in Mark 12, 30, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your mind, and with all of your strength. You see, Jesus includes all of those parts of our person, doesn't he? He doesn't just say you love God with your heart. He doesn't just say you love God with your mind. He includes all of our person in that love relationship with God. And I love this other verse that I believe are related very intimately, and it's found in 1 Thessalonians 5:23. Because when we hear the greatest commandment to love the Lord with all that who we are, the follow-up question could be, well, I can't do that by myself. I can't do that on my own, and that's right, we can't. But God can do that in and through us. In 1 Thessalonians 5:23, the Apostle Paul writes this, he says, may the God of peace sanctify you entirely. And may your spirit and soul and body be kept sound and blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. And I love this verse, verse 24. The one who calls you is faithful, and he will do this. What is Paul saying here? He's saying that God is the one that sanctifies you. God is the one that renews you and me. Sanctification is the work of God, not the work of ourselves. Our part in that is the surrender. Our part in that is the willingness. And it's not just, he doesn't just want to sanctify part of us. He doesn't want to just sanctify how we talk or how we think or how we act or how we dress or whatever we do. He wants to sanctify the entire person of us. Sanctification is to be renewed into the image of Jesus Christ. Now, when you think of an image, you think of a picture per se, right? An image, a logo, an icon, a portrait even, right? An image is something you see, something you look at, something that represents or expresses a thought or a person or an idea. The image of Jesus Christ, well, what does that mean for you and me? As you see a portrait of Jesus, what do you picture in your mind? Long hair, beard, robe, right? Blue sash, right? Perhaps a shepherd's staff. That's a picture in your mind of what Jesus looks like, right? So when we are renewed in the image of Jesus, the more Christ-like we become, do we grow beards and long hair? And no. That was funnier to me than it was to you guys. In my mind. No, it is that our lives resemble. It is that our lives reflect the life of Jesus, right? Our life is an image of Jesus' life. And that's what we desire to pursue this week together. So this morning we're talking about a renewed mind. A renewed mind is an essential, it is essential to the sanctification of the entire person, and more so the transformation of a life. A renewed mind is essential. We can all look the part, we can all dress the part, we can act the part, we can talk the part, but inside our minds can be corrupted, can't they? Our minds can be evil. They can be darkened. And we can fool everybody else on the outside. But if our minds are darkened, if our minds are evil, if our minds are corrupt, we aren't being sanctified. We are not being renewed in the image of Christ. There is a difference between an evil thought popping in your mind and taking that thought captive and taking it to the Lord. Or an evil thought popping in your mind and dwelling in on it and letting it take root in your heart. Now, as humans, we've always focused, we just naturally emphasize the physical appearance and ability of people. As I talked about, the outside is what we can all see, it's what we can feel, it's what we can hear, it's what we can touch, it's what we can experience, it's what we're impressed by, right? And it is possible for everyone outside of our life, on the outside, to think we're someone else when we really aren't. But God sees us for who we really are, and He knows every thought. He knows every desire. He knows everything that our mind processes. He knows the motives we have. He knows the actions that are carried out by those motives. And just as Samuel anointed King David, the smallest and youngest and weakest of the brothers, just as Samuel anointed David as king, God cares more and is more interested in what we cannot see with our eyes, right? There's a man by the name of Nick Vujicic. I don't know if I pronounced his name right, but he's an Australian man. And perhaps you've heard of him, perhaps you've seen him on TV. He's a man that has become a very effective and inspiring speaker and preacher for the gospel of Jesus Christ. Thousands come to hear him preach, and he's reached and ministered to over 2 million people in person. He's written books, and but here's the thing about this man. Here's the thing about Nick. He doesn't stand in crowds and impress people with his charisma because he doesn't stand at all. He was born with no arms and no legs, just a torso. He was born with a torso. Can you picture a torso, just a head and a torso with a partial foot? That's all that Nick was born with as a child. And as he grew up as a child, He battled severe depression, severe discouragement. In fact, at 10 years old, he tried to drown himself. He tried to commit suicide when he was 10 by trying to drown himself in the bathtub. But God got a hold of him. And when he was a teenager, when he was 15 years old, he had always been reading these stories of what it means to be renewed in the image of God and the renewed in the image of Jesus. And in his mind, it seemed like a cruel joke, because when you think of Jesus, you think of the person, the physical body. But when he was 15, he read a story about how Jesus healed a blind man. And Jesus said to the blind man, he said, now go and let the work of God flow through you. And when he read that, it changed everything in him. It changed his mind. And his life took a different direction. The Lord renewed him. The Lord renewed his mind. The Lord didn't give him arms and legs, but God changed his mind and renewed his mind and transformed his entire person. As we look at this theme of a renewed mind, I want to share this verse, the verse for this morning, found in Romans 12:2. Says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds, so that you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. That passage or that verse is a foundational verse. But what I want us to hone in on is the word renewing. And the fact that in this word renewing, there's an ing at the end of that word, right? And what that says to us is that this renewing is a continuing renewal. It isn't just one act of God. It isn't just one moment. It isn't one complete and concise action that fixes everything in our life and makes us like Jesus. It is a renewing. We are being transformed by the renewing of our mind, and that is every day, perhaps every moment, so that we may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. To know the heart of Jesus, our minds must know the heart of Jesus. The Christian life is not a task to be mastered. And if you have a personality that likes to tackle projects and likes to do lists and likes to get it done and put it away and move on to the next accomplishment, I got news for you. The Christian life isn't that way. The Christian life is not a task to be mastered. It is to continue to follow the Master. And in that following, there is a continual renewing of our minds and our person to be continually renewed in the image of Jesus. The Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians 3:18, he writes this, all of us with unveiled faces, seeing the glory of the Lord as though reflected in a mirror, are being transformed. There's that being again. There's that continual again. Are being transformed into the same image. What is that image? Of Jesus. From one degree of glory to another. What is that saying? It's saying we progress as Christians in our lives. We continually progress. And it says at the end, for this comes from the Lord, the Spirit. There it is. It's the work of the Lord again, continuing to renew you and me. I love the NIV translation, the way that the NIV translation writes Romans 12:2, because it says, do not be conformed to the pattern of this world. I like that phrase, the pattern of this world. If you think about it, your entire life, everything you are, it really is developed after patterns, isn't it? Even the clothes you wear are made with patterns and designs. The way you think, the way you act, your upbringing, your experiences are all patterns that you have inherited, aren't they? In fact, every thought, everything you know, everything you are is a building upon your experience in life, your knowledge, your wisdom, your personality, your likes, your dislikes, your desires, your not desires. These are developed through experience. And those are patterns or experiences or exposures that all of us have gone through in our lives. People, that's why two different people can experience the same exact experience at the same time and have two different responses. Why? Because they have two different brains. They have two different minds. They have two different experiences that have led them to that point. There is an interesting thing that happens in the human brain. The human brain actually creates pathways. Your brain, as you develop a habit, let's say you have a routine in your life, or let's say you've done something over and over and over in your life, whatever that is, exercise, whatever you do, work, whatever it is that you've developed over the years, your brain actually develops like this roadway almost, like a map. And your body responds instantly, almost like you can do it in your sleep. Do you know what I'm talking about? It's called muscle memory. Have you ever heard of the phrase muscle memory? Muscle memory is because your brain has hard pathways that have been developed, and your body and your mind have been trained to carry out this task. And so there's patterns even in our brains, isn't there? There's neurological pathways. It's why your personality is the way it is, and it's why if you know someone and let's say something happens to them, you could probably predict how they would respond, right? Because of how their brain is made, how their mind works, how they are as a person. It's because of the patterns and the pathway. And what Paul is saying is, do not be conformed to the patterns of this world. Meaning, there's this world out here. There's this culture we live in. There's all these ideas and principles and tactics and methods and policies and ways of life that we have been exposed to and experienced in this world. And what he's saying is, step out of those patterns and allow God to renew your mind. Be transformed into something that is not of this world. Allow God to change the way you think. Allow God to change the way you are through your mind. But if we're set in our ways, which we could think of in our ways would be those patterns or those roadways, if we're set in those ways, it's much more difficult to do that, isn't it? It's much more difficult to allow God to do that. There's this story in Scripture in Mark 2. Jesus is there and he's being questioned by the Pharisees about sitting and eating with tax collectors and sinners. We talked about that a lot last week, didn't we? If you were here last week, you remember what we talked about, I hope. We talked about that. We talked about the table and the table fellowship. And here Jesus is, carrying that out, and the Pharisees, this is unheard of. This is new. This is a whole new thought pattern Jesus is introducing. And they just can't handle it. And they're questioning him, and he says this in response in Mark 2:22. He says, "No one puts new wine into old wineskins. Otherwise, the wine will burst the skins, and the wine is lost. And so are the wineskins. But one puts new wine into fresh wineskins." You see, this new way of life that Jesus introduces to us requires a renewed mind to be able to contain these new thoughts and these new ways of thinking and these new ways of living. We must have a renewed mind in order for us to understand and discern what the will of God is. That's what he's saying here. And when we attempt to graft new ideas and new ways of thinking into old mindsets, or you could say the flesh, you could say mindsets of the world or patterns of the flesh, when we attempt to graft the ways of Christ into that, it becomes messy. It becomes broken, because in a new wineskin, new wine ferments and the gases expand. And if the wineskin is old, it's brittle and it will not stretch with it, and it'll break and burst. That's why we live in this tension sometimes of the flesh and the Spirit of Christ, don't we? That tension we live in, it's between what we already are and know and who God wants us to become and what God wants us to learn. And by being lifelong learners, by walking through this life with a desire for the Lord to teach us, to train us, to show us, You see, we need to walk through every day with a Lord, teach me mind. With open hands, with open hearts, and with open minds, saying, Lord, teach me, show me, give me more of you. So I want to ask us a few personal questions this morning. How do you approach your personal Bible study or your personal devotional time? When you spend time with the Lord, is the Word of God injected in you? Or do you inject the Word of God yourself into the Word of God? Is the Word of God injected in you? Or do you take your mind, your thoughts, your patterns, and inject it into the Word of God to make it say what you want it to say to you? You see, when we do that, that's not surrendering to the Spirit of the Lord. That's not allowing God to renew our minds. That's just taking our old mindsets and our own patterns of thinking and injecting it into the Scriptures to say it and to make it fit what we want it to say, right? And believers do that all the time. There's this phrase. There's this phrase related to scholars or Bible study. There's two words that have opposite meanings. The first is exegete, and the other is eisegete. Have you ever heard those words before? Nobody's heard those words before? Okay, some of us have. To exegete means to analyze objectively. It means to analyze and to draw out everything and to be led to a conclusion from your findings with an objective point of view. To exegete Scripture is to receive it as it is and to come to a conclusion based on your findings objectively. It's to draw out everything you can to find truth. Eisegete is the opposite. Eisegete is to take your preconceived notions, your prejudices, your conclusions you've already made up in your mind, and it is to push it into the text in order to lead yourself to a conclusion by informing the text rather than the text informing you. And so we don't want to eisegete. We want to exegete Scripture. Because the Word of God is living. Amen? The Word of God has a way. You can read a verse 1,000 times, and the 1,001st time you read it, you see something new. Has that ever happened to you? Have you ever read a passage of Scripture and something has jumped out at you like you've never seen it before, even though you've read it 1,000,000 times? That's the Spirit of God renewing your mind. That's exciting. You should be excited for that. And that's exegeting. That's not eisegeting. Now, eisegeting is to say, I believe this. I feel this way about this. And so, therefore, the text tells me this. And believers do that all the time. I say believers, not disciples, because a disciple doesn't do that, does it? A disciple doesn't go to their master and say, this is what I'm doing and why and how I'm doing it. No, a disciple follows the master and learns from the master. So this question I want to ask us, do our minds shape our Christian faith, or does our Christian faith shape our minds? Big difference, isn't there? Do our minds shape our Christian faith? Or does our Christian faith shape our minds? Do our political views, does our social views, our economic worldviews, our national worldviews, our cultural worldviews, all of those, do they shape our Christian faith? Or does the Christian faith inform all of that in us? You follow me this morning? If you were to take your car to a mechanic and you were to say, I need an oil change, and you know you need an oil change because you've driven it 7,000 miles and you haven't taken it in. Who's with me? Anybody else? Yeah. And you say, I need an oil change. I know I need an oil change. And the mechanic looks at your car and they say, maybe you need an oil change. But you know what? Just by the look of your car, you need a transmission too. You'd be like, what? Whoa, whoa, whoa. How do you know that? You haven't studied it. You haven't looked at my transmission. You haven't looked at my car. And that's because the mechanic is eisegeting his own perspectives, his own thoughts. And he could completely misdiagnose it. If you've been married for longer than a week, have you figured everything out about your spouse? Now, men, it's not hard to figure us out, right? We're not very complex creatures. We just aren't. And if you're a man today and you're sitting, I am so deep and complex. No, you're not. You're pretty simple compared to women. Women are complex. And it could take 1,000 lifetimes to study women, right? To figure women out. And if you're a woman, you know I'm right. Right? It's like the man's brain is like this, and the woman's brain is like this. Right? So if you think you figured everything out about your spouse, and you know what they need, chances are you don't, and you need to continue to study them. Right? It's a lifelong study. And all the men are like, amen. We need to exegete our wives. We need to exegete our husbands. We need to study our spouse. We need to study what their needs are, what makes them tick, why, how they feel loved. We don't need to take our preconceived notions and force that upon our wife, right? How do we approach our prayer life? Do we come to Jesus with all these lists of requests and goals that we have? Or do we say, Lord, teach me. Lord, show me. Lord, speak to me. Do we have these agendas and do we have these goals and desires that we want God to answer and to meet for us? How do we approach our worship? Do we come in with our minds made up that worship is what it is? Or do we come in with a mind that says, open me up, speak to me, reveal your spirit to me? How do we see God working in and through us? You see, we fight these things as human beings called pride and prejudice and anger and bitterness and regret and worldviews, and all of these things can work against God renewing our minds if we let it. And what I want us to do is simply to invite God in by the power of not ourselves, but by the power of His Holy Spirit to renew our minds. And I got news for you. You're not going to go away this morning knowing it all. You're not going to go away this morning having it all figured out with a new mind. But you can go away this morning taking one step closer to a renewed mind in the image of Jesus, because it is a daily thing, right? It's a daily process. As Caitlin and the band comes, we're going to close our time in communion this morning. May we give our minds to God. May we allow and invite the Lord to give us a fresh portion of His grace and His Spirit. For us to truly understand the life of Christ. For us to truly live a life that reflects Jesus, a renewed mind is essential. To grow and to be transformed by the power of the Holy Spirit, we have to come to a place of humility. We have to come to a place where we know we don't have it all together. We know we don't have it all figured out. And that every day His mercies are new. Every morning His mercies are new, aren't they? That's why in verse 1 of Romans 12 it says, present yourself by the mercies of God as a living sacrifice. I want to ask the ushers to come. And we will begin to receive the communion elements. As you receive the elements this morning, I just want to invite us to reflect on the sacrifice that Christ has made. And to be reminded this morning that Christ didn't die for us, and more importantly, he didn't raise from the dead. He wasn't resurrected so that we could live in the old ways, so that we could think in the old patterns, so that we could live to self. You see, Christ died. He gave his life for you and for me. And then he rose again so that we could be what? Revived. So that we could be renewed. So that we could be restored. So that we could walk in newness of life. Christ didn't die. He didn't give up his precious life and his precious blood so that you and I can just go on living through the patterns of this world or the ways of the flesh. So I want to encourage and challenge us this morning. If you've got a besetting sin in your heart, if you've got an addiction in your life, if you've got a pattern that just seems to have victory over, a grip over you, let's begin to pray that this week the Lord begins a new work in that. And even ask God to allow you to surrender at a deeper level. Ask God, show me, teach me. As you receive the elements this morning, I just invite you to receive them and wait until everyone has received all the elements, and then we will partake together.